The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Sleeps, where I, your host, DJ Papaya, will explore the world of sleep and a condition called insomnia, where each episode will be dedicated to exploring the vitality of sleep and the detriments of depriving yourself of it, alongside the implications that insomnia entails. In today's episode, I wanted to discuss a little bit more on the progression of clinical insomnia, as it does not just begin as clinical insomnia. It's not something that somebody just develops overnight. It moves from acute to chronic. It starts with potentially developing into a long-term condition when the short-term insomnia continues past the three-month period. Sometimes insomnia, if it is acute, can resolve on its own if the stressor in somebody's life that caused insomnia has been resolved. But if it continues for 3 nights a week over 3 months, it becomes chronic, and that's characterized by a persistent difficulty in falling or staying asleep. This chronic state often leads to daytime symptoms like fatigue and poor concentration, and can increase the risk for other health problems such as anxiety, depression, and even cardiovascular issues. Acute, or otherwise known as short-term insomnia, this type is often a reaction to a stressor like a major life event or change in routine. It is typically brief and resolves once the stressor is removed in the person's life. Symptoms can include difficulty falling asleep, initial sleep onset, waking up in the middle of the night, maintenance, or waking up too early or too late. Progression to chronic insomnia. If acute insomnia is not resolved, it can become chronic, lasting at least 3 nights per week or leading to 3 months or longer of this persistent 3 or more days a week where you can't sleep, have trouble falling asleep, or have trouble getting into a good rhythmic sleep. The severity can worsen, and studies show that the number of affected days can be worse at the onset and remain stable thereafter. I think it is also important to note that chronic insomnia can develop even after short-term insomnia, the stressor, or whatever routine disruption in your routine has occurred in past. It can still be a cause for why a person developed chronic insomnia, as if you have predisposition or it's hereditary, that can just be when these symptoms of insomnia and insomnia itself takes hold and becomes a condition that you deal with from then on. Some physical risks that involve insomnia is cardiovascular problems. Chronic insomnia is linked to a higher risk of high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. Weakened immune system. Your body's ability to fight off infections can decrease, making you more susceptible to getting sick, which is something that I can attest to in my 10 years of struggling with insomnia. My immune system can be compared to one of a Victorian child, because I am very susceptible to getting sick, and I try my best not to, because when I am sick, it's very intense. Another one is increased risk of chronic disease. It can increase your risk of developing type 2 diabetes and obesity. This obesity factor of insomnia can be caused just because you are up at night, you're unable to sleep, and sometimes you get bored and you just decide to eat a lot of snacks. Hormonal disruption is another physical risk. Sleep loss can affect hormones that regulate appetite, leading to increased hunger and potential weight gain, which is another part that contributes to that factor risk of obesity. As I have struggled with insomnia since I was 9, which is when I got diagnosed, I wanted to talk a little bit about what if insomnia doesn't go away. If insomnia doesn't go away after trying sleep hygiene, you should see a doctor for professional evaluation. Chronic insomnia may require treatment-resistant interventions like cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia, or CBTI, or prescription sleep medications. It's important to address underlying conditions like stress, anxiety, depression, or sleeping disorders like sleep apnea that can cause persistent insomnia. When you should know to see a doctor is if your insomnia has lasted for months or years. You've tried sleep hygiene practices and multiple sleep medications without success. You suspect your insomnia is linked to an underlying condition like depression or chronic pain. And what your doctor can do for you is, first, a diagnosis. A doctor can help identify the cause of your persistent insomnia, which could be a medical or mental health condition or another sleep disorder like sleep apnea. Refer you to a specialist. You may be referred to a sleep specialist for further evaluation and treatment. Prescribed medication. In some cases, prescription medications may be recommended as a temporary solution or in combination with other therapies so that you are able to better sleep at night. And recommended therapy, a doctor may recommend CBTI as a highly effective non-drug treatment for chronic insomnia. However, it's important to not ignore potential underlying causes like mental health conditions, stress, anxiety, depression, and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, can all contribute to chronic insomnia. Medical conditions like restless leg syndrome or long-term pain can interfere with sleep. Lifestyle factors like irregular work hours, alcohol or caffeine intake, and lack of consistent sleep hygiene can also play a role in chronic insomnia. I can speak a little bit to my experience, as I've been dealing with chronic insomnia since I was 9. I'm now 19. For me, none of the prescribed medications or recommended therapies really did much for my insomnia. This could be partially because there was a hereditary factor that played a role, or that because I had insomnia very early on, I developed anxiety, which is something that I am still getting treated for alongside insomnia. However, another thing that I feel plays a role is definitely your caffeine intake. Caffeine is known to sometimes heighten that anxiety that you feel, and as a person with anxiety already that has a large intake of caffeine, just because that comes sometimes with being a college student, I can say that it definitely at the beginning worsened my insomnia, but as it's something that has been a constant for so many years, sometimes you become accustomed to that lifestyle or that interrupted sleep, as that's mainly what I suffer from. Sometimes it isn't, for me personally, falling asleep that's the issue. It'll take me like 2 hours of trying to go to bed so I can go to sleep, but I wake up pretty consistently every 30 to 40 minutes throughout the whole night until I finally decide to get up. And sometimes when you become accustomed to that schedule, it begins to affect, or you feel it begins to affect your life less, which is something that I can say that I definitely became used to using as a defense to why I gave up on sleep medication, or why I stopped trying to fix the problem. However, it is important to not take your sleep lightly. and not take the things that you experience lightly because you become accustomed to them. Because they are still very real and very dangerous at points, especially with sleep. And it's something that we are all guilty of. We all at times sacrifice parts of our lifestyle or parts of our health in order to do things that we feel are more important, like sacrificing a few weeks of sleep to study for exams or do homework. And while those things are important, we should never lose sight of how important and invaluable our health is, because without your health, you can't do anything. You can't get a good score on an exam or do anything else that you'd like if your health is jeopardized. So it's important to keep at the forefront of our minds that even if we become accustomed to something, or if we feel that insomnia or bad sleep is something that isn't that important, it is very much is, and it very much real, and has a very much real impact on our health, which is something to keep in mind. I also wanted to go over some myths that are common about insomnia and debunk them. So a myth is that insomnia is just psychological. This is not true. A fact is, while mental health can be a factor, insomnia is also linked to physical issues like chronic pain, restless leg syndrome, and side effects from medication. Another myth is that staying in bed is the best way to handle sleeplessness. However, lying in bed awake can worsen insomnia. It's best to get out of bed and do something relaxing until you feel sleepy again and ready to try to go to bed again. Another myth is you can make up for lost sleep on the weekends. This is not true. Sleeping in on the weekends can disrupt your body's natural sleep-wake cycle, making insomnia worse, and it just adds to your sleep debt. Another myth is that a little alcohol helps you sleep. This is not true. While alcohol can make you feel drowsy initially, it disrupts your sleep quality and can cause you to wake up earlier. And this is also a bad habit for people to push on to people with insomnia, as this can also lead to alcoholism, which would not only worsen the condition, but worsen the health risk factors. Another myth is that sleeping pills are the only solution. There are non-drug treatments like cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia that can be effective long-term solutions, and sometimes sleeping pills don't even work, coming from somebody who sleeping pills did not work for. Bad facts are that you can't train yourself to need less sleep. Adults need 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night for optimal health, and constantly getting less sleep can lead to serious health consequences like heart disease and impaired cognitive function. So you cannot train yourself to need less sleep, no matter how much you feel like you can or how little sleep you get and you feel like you're fine, because that's something that we all do at times. Sometimes you sleep 2 hours and you wake up and you feel more awake than when you slept 10. But this does not mean that you need less sleep. Another bad fact is that insomnia is a permanent, untreatable condition. Non-chronic insomnia is often temporary and treatable with the right approach, including lifestyle changes and medical treatments. And although I have suffered with insomnia for a long time, I do believe that one day I will recover from it. And although I do have those genetic factors that play a role, I still believe that one day my insomnia will be under control. Another bad fact is that screen time before you go to bed is a good way to unwind.